Order and just say how impressed I am at 129. Thank you. Government at its best. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Bates. Here. Bates here. Monning. Here. Monning here. Roth. Here. Roth here. Wilk. Atkins.
Here.
Atkins here.
Thank you. And for the record, unfortunately, Mr. Wilk called me today. He is ill, so that was not something, of course, that he planned. So I hope he gets better soon. Let me see if we can establish a consent agenda with items 2, bill referrals, items 3 and 4, which are floor acknowledgments. Thank you, Senator Roth. Madam Secretary.
Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk. Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
Okay, that passes 4-0 with Mr. Wilk absent. Let me go ahead and call our first appointee forward, Mr. Trang Tu, who is being appointed or has been appointed by the governor to the California Gaming Control Commission. Mr. Tu, if you would like to introduce whoever might be with you that you would like to acknowledge, make your opening comments, and then we will go right to conversation of the committee. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to introduce my lovely wife, who's here today, Tricia To. She's back there.
Welcome.
And unfortunately, our son, he's a junior at Jesuit High School, cannot be here today because it's towards the end of the semester. And so it's a lot of work for him to do, has projects and AP tests. So regretfully.
Being a diligent student is what you're telling us.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you again for all your time. President Pro Tem Atkins and distinguished members of the Senate Rules Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Trang To, and I'm a commissioner on the California Gambling Control Commission. I have spent most of my professional career working to protect the interests of my local community as a peace officer, and it has been a great honor to serve as a commissioner on the California Gambling Control Commission, working to protect all California. The opportunity to draw upon my prior experience as a peace officer and help preserve the integrity of the gaming industry in California has been a challenging and rewarding experience. And I would look forward to continue to serve this great state for the next several years. I have the privilege of working with a very dedicated and hardworking staff at the commission, as well as thoughtful and respectful commissioner colleagues who consider each important decision before us with due care and consideration. I work to uphold the mandate given to the commission while also ensuring that each applicant wishing to work in this industry is given full due process and the opportunity to share their story with the commission. With integrity in the industry as my primary goal, I will continue to build upon and grow relationship with those in both the card room and tribal industry and to increase outreach to applicants. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you very much. Senator Monning, can I start with you today?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. To. Congratulations on your continued work on the commission and your nomination to continue. I also want to acknowledge and thank you for your public service in law enforcement, and I believe you fill a law enforcement position in the commission.
Thank you, Senator.
And you shared a lot in our conversation yesterday, and I appreciated your taking the time. A couple of points that I think would be of interest to our committee broached the question of the prospect of online sports betting in California, and while it's not in your purview to decide whether or not that is legalized, I did ask you what you felt the capacity was of the commission to oversee that should should it be legalized at some point? And maybe you could share some of your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Senator. As a commission, if the legislature decide that the commission will be the agency to create regulations as a regulatory body, we are able and willing to sit down with the legislature and give our opinions and lend our expertise, because I know our staff is tremendous. They have tremendous expertise, great leadership, and we have been monitoring ever since the Supreme Court last year made that ruling to prohibit sports betting, depending on the state. And so with that, our thought is there's many considerations that I believe the legislature would have to consider. Who can offer sports betting? How's the application process going to go? Who will have compliance and background aspect of that? Will it be the Bureau of Gambling Control? What kind of sports betting can we you need to consider? Would it be something to consider of sports betting is, would it be real life as it's happening? I can't think of the word, but it, for instance, a football game. Should we consider allow bettings to occur during the games, halftime, after halftime, the second half, would that be considered? The tax schedule, how would that be? So there are many things that the legislature should consider, and we would be more than happy to give our expertise, opinion, and work diligently with the legislature.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And again, while I know that's not before you at this moment, I just found your knowledge and the expanse of considerations that we would want to have before us. So thank you for that. And then you referenced, I know it's the Bureau of Enforcement that's in charge of enforcement matters. The commission reviews citations or license issues. We also spoke of the Indian casinos, the compacts, and how they are in charge of their own licensing of certain level of employees, and it's only at certain levels where the commission has oversight. I wonder if you could just share briefly that distinction and whether you think there are any concerns of maybe lateral transfers between different casino gaming facilities, that maybe somebody's been terminated at one, but there's nothing in front of your commission that would give rise to review to work somewhere else.
Sure, thank you, Senator. The Bureau and our commission has very limited involvement with the tribal, because every tribal has their own gaming commission, and they are in charge and has the authority to hire every of their employees, every single one of their employees. They have the authority. The only time when, and of course their compliance and investigative units would do background, conduct backgrounds on those individuals that they hire, and they have the authority to grant licenses to individuals that they deem to be suitable. The only time when the state, when we get involved in that, is when an employee is up for a promotion to a supervisory position, which we call it the key employee position. And then that applicant is required to submit a state application, and that's when the commission becomes involved. Now, keep in mind that the employee has already been licensed by the tribal casino, but we, as a negotiated compact, the tribal negotiated compact, we do, the Bureau will conduct backgrounds on that individual for key employee position, and we would find only that we would find suitable, whether that employee is suitable or not. Not to grant a license, that's up to the tribal casino themselves. However, there's a distinction between a tribal member and a non-tribal member. When we find the person is suitable or not, if that employee is a tribal member, the tribal is not bound to take our recommendation. They, because of the negotiated compact, they can hire, they can forego our recommendation, whether we, basically saying deny that person is suitable, that the tribal can hire that employee regardless of what. Now, it's different with the non-tribal member. Once the suitability is found where we deny that person, then the tribal casino has to terminate that employee. So there's a difference between the two, and that's the only time when we get involved in with the tribal.
Great. Well, again, I appreciate your thorough command of this oversight position. I thank you for your service, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bates.
Thank you, and let me begin, Ms. Trowe, by congratulating you on a stellar years of service. Amazing, back to 1984. And I noticed from your resume, which was very impressive, that you started in a gang suppression unit. And 1984, and shortly after that, my home city incorporated, and one of the first things that we did was start a unit like that with the sheriff's recommendation. I wondered if that had come from perhaps what you had already been doing in Sacramento, because it was something that was of great concern at that time in our community as gangs were proliferating amongst our young people. So thank you for your service there, and certainly all the way through. It's quite impressive.
Thank you, Senator.
I do have a quick question for you. It's about AB 880 and the new Tribal Nation Grant Panel.
Yes.
And you're responsible for implementing the regulations or implementing the measure. How are we doing? Are we moving forward? Do we have things ready to go or in process?
I'm happy to address that. Thank you. The AB 880 was passed last year in September by the legislature. That gives the state, it requires an appointment of 9 members to this panel, to which 7 are voting members and 2 are non-voting members, alternates. And it's appointed by the governor's tribal advisor. The commission has a limited portion on this, although we are the trustee of the fund, but this new panel will be the authority. The panel is responsible to develop processes and how is it going to be in the future, who can get the appointment, how appointments are conducted and applications are received and of that nature. The panel will convene for the first time, I believe May 17th of this month, and it will be moving forward with their responsibility and start developing policies for that.
So it's in the beginning phase then?
Yes, it is. And again, we have very limited role. We have an administrative support role in that. And we don't make any recommendation, only that 9 panel members.
Well, thank you. We'll be anxious to hear how that goes forward, because it was an important step in terms of the revenue sharing or the for the non-gaming tribes, so appreciate that. And I think that's it for me, Madam Chair, and thank you again. Congratulations, and I certainly will be very supportive of your nomination and your appointment.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Roth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, congratulations. I have absolutely no questions, and I'd be delighted to move your confirmation at the appropriate point in time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Roth.
Thank you, Senator Roth. Let me now invite members of the public who are here in support to come forward. In opposition? Okay, that's a good sign. Senator Roth, you had requested. Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk. Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
That is unanimous, 4-0 with an absence. Congratulations. Congratulations. And thank you.
Thank you, Senators and staff, and for your attention in this matter, and I truly appreciate it, and I will continue to do the best job that I can to serve the people of California. Thank you.
Wow, thank you very much. Let me invite Ms. Jenkins-Jones forward and ask you to start by telling me how to say your first name so that I'd get it right.
Adria.
Adria. Very nice. Thank you. I will invite you to as well introduce folks who obviously are here to support you, and then go ahead with your comments, and then we'll get right into it. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, Chair Atkins and members of the committee. I would like to introduce my family who are here to support me. First, my mother, Elizabeth Brewer, a retired civil servant from Corrections, my daughter, Alea Jones, and my cousin, Tanya Brewer. Also in attendance is a host of colleagues and friends from GovOps Agency, CalHR, and the Department of Finance. It is my pleasure to be here today for your consideration of my appointment of Chief Deputy Director for the Department of Human Resources. I am grateful for this opportunity to use my 30 years of state service and experience in human resources to contribute to making a difference in state civil service and California at large. My career in state service began in 1986, working as an office assistant in the mailroom with the State Compensation Insurance Fund. I spent 23 years of my state career at the Department of Finance. I have been in HR for over 25 years, and 19 of those years in leadership roles. CalHR is the central human resources agency for state government, and a large part of our function is to represent the governor as an employer in all matters concerning state employer-employee relations. There are many challenging human resources management issues facing California today. As Chief Deputy Director, one of my goals is to ensure that the California civil service workforce accurately reflects the diversity of California's population. California must lead the way as a model for progressive, enlightened government in the 21st century. This appointment will make me the first African American Chief Deputy Director appointed to the Department of Human Resources. This is a monumental moment for my family, as well as it will show diversity in leadership within state service, not only as a woman leader, but from the aspect of upward mobility, inspiration, and hope for others. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I'm happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Senator Roth, let's start with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Director, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, in an earlier life of mine in this House, I had responsibility for oversight over information technology projects, including the Controllers Project, having to do with the payroll system and the like for our California employees. And during that oversight experience that I had, as I recall, one of the issues that was identified was the, in terms of an explanation for why the project was so hard, was the complexity of our pay systems, the number of different types of pay that people receive, over state government made it very, very complicated. And I note that you were embarked in an effort to eliminate obsolete classifications, to simplify classifications, and in other words, to make our California system, perhaps including hopefully our pay system, a little easier to deal with. How are you coming with that effort, that very important effort?
Actually, CalHR has had much success with the class consolidation project. Our biggest project was the IT consolidation that we did back in 2017, where we took about 20 classifications and brought them down to 9. We are also working on the class consolidation currently for the generalist classification, which will probably affect about 40,000 state employees, bringing about 35 classifications down to about 18. So we are diligently working on that project. It is constantly moving, and it's doing actually very well.
Excellent. I also noted in the review of the material that we were provided that you are embarked on an effort to field an information technology project to track discrimination and harassment claims or complaints. And how is that going?
Actually, that is actually going very well, too. The discrimination complaint tracking system project, we are looking to complete that project by July 2019. At that time, from there, we will be training departments on the system, and we will be entering information into the system January 2020.
So one of the issues that occasionally was identified during the various IT projects that I had the opportunity to experience here had to do with onboarding of staff and employees. Are you, maybe you answered this in your last statement, but are you in the process of doing the onboarding now, getting the staff ready to assume responsibility when the system goes live?
That won't start till July, August. Okay. For the onboarding for the discrimination complaint tracking system.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to hearing a report on how that goes. It sounds like you've got everything well in hand and your qualifications are superb, and once again, at the appropriate time, I look forward to moving your confirmation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Ms. Jenkins-Jones. So we had such a good conversation when you were in my office. I think that I'm not going to have any more questions for you. You have a superb resume, and certainly on the questions I asked focused on the retirement wave. That was a big issue because we've faced it in some of the organizations and assignments that I've had. You have that, certainly your recruitment focused on that. So I'm very comfortable to congratulate you and be supportive of your nomination when we have a vote. Thank you again.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also want to offer my congratulations. I want to thank you for your service to the state of California. And one thing I gleaned from our conversation, we have many heroes in American industry who started in the mailroom, and you shared with me that you also started in the mailroom, and look where you have ended up. A lot of hard work and commitment, and I imagine family support as well along the way. I just wanted to ask a question that we talked about yesterday because I think the committee would find it of interest, the challenge of pay equity and gender discrimination and pay equity with state jobs. I think my belief was, well, if you have a job classification, anyone within that classification would receive the same compensation. But you helped me understand it's a little more complicated than that, and you talked a little bit about how work is valued in different classifications. And I wonder if you could just share a little of that with the committee and your thoughts of how we do take that on. And it sounded a little more challenging and a little more complex than I might have thought at the outset.
Yeah. In our conversation yesterday, the gender pay gap is actually a little bit complex for the state of California because salaries are set, and it doesn't matter what gender you have for a particular salary. However, women have mostly been geared toward clerical and social sciences. And yesterday I kind of gave you the example of an adoption specialist who requires a master degree to do the job, doesn't receive an MSA or merit salary adjustment until after 24 months. However, a correctional officer and a highway patrol officer only require a high school degree. And one of the things of the studies that we have with UC Berkeley and Sac State, the report showed that other states like Minnesota and Washington had done some research and actually did some information about the value of work and how work should be analyzed based on the skills, the responsibility, effort, and the workplace conditions to measure the value and to provide an opportunity to identify the gender pay gap or gaps and fix them accordingly.
Well, I found that very interesting, and implicit within that comparison is that a male correctional officer with a high school diploma would be compensated at a higher level than the adoption specialist with a master's degree, a female adoption specialist.
There's actually a 13% gap between an adoption specialist and a correctional officer, and a 36% gap between an adoption specialist and a CHP officer.
And how do we begin to reconcile that? What did you learn from these other states' experience? Are they ahead of us in trying to create equality?
They actually are ahead of us, Senator.
And what have you learned from their efforts?
Well, I've learned that looking at the value of work could be expensive. It's something that I think the state of California should look at, along with non-traditional apprenticeship programs for women. That would help close the pay gap. We actually have had a couple of mentorship, the IT apprenticeship program that was spearheaded by the GovOps agency. I believe that we should also look into a statewide mentorship program for women.
Thank you, and we could pursue this. I hope we'll have a chance as we work with you in the future, and I think we have the right person for the job. So thank you, Madam Chair, and again, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Along those lines, and thank you, Senator, for starting that line of questions or dialogue, in terms of an inclusive and diverse workforce, what are the most effective strategies for recruitment? This was one of our staff questions. It's a really good question, regardless of where we are in management in the state, whether us as elected officials. Give me your thoughts a little bit on that.
Well, CalHR is actually, we have a BCP right now asking for resources for more recruitment efforts. We have in the past taken a passive role because we give guidance to departments, but we are going to be taking a more proactive role. And I believe that doing a little bit more focused recruitment with those areas that we are underutilized would be more of an effective approach to providing diversity into our work state workforce. Some other efforts that have happened is the regulations for like LEAP classifications for disabled persons. There's been some great streamlining of regulations that's actually helped in that area to have more disabled in our workforce. We've also partnered with the U.S. Marines Corps, and we've done some focused recruitment down there. To get more veterans inside. We created a military skills translator that's on our website, and right now it's geared towards all branches. We're going to also be spreading out through the Army, the Navy, and the other branches of military to seek some more focused recruitment in that area.
Nice. And in terms of language capabilities, we are incredibly diverse as a state, but it seems, we're always talking about how to increase our language capabilities. And when you talk about diverse inclusion and recruitment, there probably are communities where better focus and outreach could be done. I can't speak to the requirement level in terms of education, but have you seen areas or evidence where there are particular places where we need more language diversity and thoughts on how to work on that?
Well, yes and no. We actually have a 1-800 line for anyone that has any issues with language, and we will provide interpreters at the state expense for anybody that needs that type of assistance. The line, from what I understand, we probably maybe on average get 5 to 10 calls a month, which seems to be kind of low for the state of California.
Do you think it's a matter of people not being aware of the number or how to access?
That could be a factor.
Okay. Thank you. And lastly, I will ask you about another topic that I think staff probably brought up as an issue, and that's the issue of an anti-nepotism policy. And I'm sure it's hard in various parts of the state. I would think Sacramento, one. We recruit from communities of which we know, I guess, but your thoughts on the anti-nepotism policy, and certainly with the governor's announced expansion of the probe at DIR, what should be done to really ensure that all the departments and agencies are actually adhering to that policy?
Well, actually, yes, the nepotism issues that have been in the paper of late have been quite disturbing. CalHR does have a guideline policy that assists departments on how to create nepotism policies. While CalHR historically hasn't been an enforcement agency, we do partner with our sister agency, State Personnel Board, who has oversight of compliance review, and they actually check in compliance review every department to see that they have a nepotism policy.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, you've got a broad range of issues you have to deal with.
Yes, ma'am.
Along with my colleagues, I want to commend you for your history. By the way, I aspired to work in a mailroom. but that's a different story. Let me ask, there's clearly a number of folks here to support you. Let me ask folks who would like to come forward in support to come to the mic, if you would like to. Okay. I see a lot of happy faces, so I'm sure they're just silently happy. Anyone in opposition? I didn't think so. So that is your cue. Senator Roth has made the motion. Madam Secretary.
Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk. Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
That passes unanimously of members present. Mr. Wilk is absent. Congratulations and thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. I hope... just to tell you, they don't go this quickly all the time. You should know that. We're going to get lulled into a sense of high expertise coming before this body, but we congratulate you and thank you and your friends and family for being here. With that, we will adjourn into executive session.